E-Radio, Ideas on Europe, in partnership with UACES.
For our weekly Ideas on Europe, editorial by UACES, the University Association for European Studies, we welcome Amelia Hadfield, who is director of the Centre of Britain and Europe at the University of Surrey in England. Bonjour, Amelia.
Bonjour, Laurence.
We all know that President Macron is very keen on developing the strategic autonomy of the European Union, but can the EU actually become a credible geopolitical actor in its own right?
Excellent question, and a question that's been around a long time, but the answers are never the same, I'm afraid. Certainly, the EU has never been short of historic or even recent challenges. So whether this is perennial east-west tensions to the most serious pandemic of recent times, as well as security and social and economic upheaval across its own neighborhood, right the way to climate change or other things like the West's withdrawal from Afghanistan to challenges with China. Every crisis, every subsequent crisis affects the EU's ability and can swiftly and, I think, ruthlessly expose the potential and the limitations of the EU's ability to be a viable geopolitical actor.
But the issue appears more pressing than before, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think time is ticking. So the EU's time to get on top of this is very much now or never. So to my mind, being an authentic global participant means influencing the current international order by sustainably coming up with and implementing European strategic autonomy in the right places in the world, using the right tools and for the right reasons. So waiting, hanging on, either for transatlantic approval or even support for various security and defense initiatives, I think is a recipe for continued paralysis.
So what are the opportunities and challenges in the years to come?
Well, as with everything to do with the European Union, I think there's some good news and some bad news. The good news is that the key member states and the presidencies in general seem quite determined, I think, to back a new and improved EU strategic autonomy package. So good news for 2022. This will allow the EU to act independently on a regional and a global scale. And the objective here, I think, is to ensure EU's authority in alliance with others, and crucially, in the absence of those allies, can continue and allow the EU to counter a challenge that might be at odds with Europe's values and interests. The bad news, again, is a combination of really too many people, too many varied participants, resulting in a watered down rather than an ambitious approach, with ongoing questions as to the desired look of the strategy, the methods, and really the general point, the raison d'etre of this much anticipated form of autonomy. So anxieties here, I think, range from the scope of the EU's own hard soft power spectrum, right the way to relations with the United States, from budgets in Brussels to the practicalities of actually administering EU values in key bilateral and multilateral forums.
So, Amelia, how could EU strategic autonomy get off the ground?
That is the question. Well, I don't think that complete consensus is ever really possible. That's very difficult. And to make it work in practice, I think EU foreign policy largely is in critical need of majoritarian-style QMV decision-making, not anymore veto-based inertia. It is, I think, possible to be broadly unified in purpose and to stick to core EU values, even while containing internal disagreements. So in a nutshell, strategic autonomy allows the EU to consolidate key areas where it's already a leader, where it's already a global leader, and those areas where it's now an emerging force. And this, in turn, will help ensure that EU values and interests prevail in critical areas, allowing the EU to lead by carrying out its own foreign policy. And in those other areas where the EU, you know, is less of a key player, it needs to decide whether it can or even ought to participate. So, Laurence, hard choices lie ahead. Overall, EU strategic autonomy in 2022 means carving out a critical path by which the EU speaks and acts and influences as a whole.
What needs to be done and what needs to be avoided?
Ah, well, this is it. This is the sort of the shopping list. Obviously, the EU needs to think carefully. It needs to avoid misguided attempts, and there have been a few. It needs to avoid failing to spot the very real need, the crucial urgency for the EU to reorganize its own approach to the global order. And the risk of losing the opportunity to lead on its own values and interests by indulging in either paper-based or sometimes budget-free cheerleading. That's not helpful. So what is needed, I think, is that EU leaders must show commitment to this agenda. I think President Emmanuel Macron has made clear three particular priorities for the current French Council presidency, and those are reforming the border-free Schengen area, demanding enhanced European defense, and a revamped European model. I think in doing so, Macron is really quite pioneering. He's advocating a robust concept of EU sovereignty on the one side, designed to move from a Europe of cooperation within our borders, as he says, to a powerful Europe in the world, fully sovereign, free to make its own choices and master its own destiny. On the other hand, Macron's been very, very clear that the spirit of responsibility, and I like that, it's a really helpful phrase, the spirit of responsibility and not continual disagreement and apathy should kickstart EU strategic autonomy, whether it's big ticket projects to just a quieter, calmer, renewed sense of European integration.
Thank you very much, Amalia, for putting this ambitious agenda into perspective. We're curious to see what comes out of the French Council presidency. Ideas on Europe will be back next week, and we will welcome Catherine Simpson, and we know that girl on EU Radio from Manchester Metropolitan University. Thank you very much, Amelia.
Absolutely my pleasure. I look forward to being back soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.